Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Let's put our hands together for the worship team. And let's just stay on our feet for a moment. We're going to read the Word of God together. So this month we're doing Love Is, which has been fantastic. And who's been enjoying Love Is, the love month? And so there's four Greek words for love. There's four descriptions when you're, because the New Testament's written in Greek, if you didn't know that. And so when you're reading the New Testament, it's good sometimes to do a word study so you can kind of understand the context of the scripture. And this is why, you know, the Jews call the Bible an onion, you know, just ripping off layers all the time. Because when you understand the wording and all that, you get new and new and fresh and more revelation. It's absolutely fantastic. But today we're going to look at agape love, which is God's love. And so we're going to do this together. But I'm going to read a scripture that feels like has completely no context to today's message. And I said this morning in the first service that God just gave me the scripture and I just came up with this message just before. And but it's not true, but you might be wondering why I'm going to read the scripture. So we're going to open this up with word meaning today. So Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8, this is what it says. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." It's a powerful scripture, isn't it? There's just so many things we can take out of that scripture. And just recently, I was on searching Facebook, which has become a daily routine somehow in my life. I don't know. The enemy's working there, but anyway. And where you get all wisdom in life is, of course, from Facebook. And I read this quote from Pastor Craig Rochelle, and he said, "God created us to pour and not store." He created us to pour and not store. So the question you might have right now is, what do the two of those have to do with agape love? And so we're going to go on a bit of a journey this morning. I need you to be proactive. We're going to have a bit of fun. I'm going to do the teaching thing today. And we're going to have a look at what these have to do with agape love. Does that sound interesting? Sound good? Excellent. Well, while you take your seat, why don't you tell your neighbor, tell them to pour and not store. Very cool. All right, so a great question to ask is simply, what is agape love? Now, agape love, what we have to understand is it's actually a noun, okay, which makes sense because we know that God is love, right? So it's who he is. So agape is a noun. Now, the definition means to empty. So agape is emptying, or it's sacrificial love with no return. Now, this is what I love about this concept is the more I studied, the more I realized that only God can actually sacrificially love somebody with no return. Only God can actually agape love. Now, your mind might go to, as mine did, to many people in history who have given their lives to serve people or given their lives, gone overseas, done missionary trips. You know, they might be nurses or doctors, and they have literally given their lives to see nations restored or people have a good life or kids restored or whatever. But here's the thing about that is, as sacrificial as that is and as beautiful as that love is, it's not agape love. See, agape love means that there is something in return. And even in the most pure of hearts, humanity, we always want something in return. It could be joy. So doing sacrifice in yourself could bring joy into your life. And that we actually want in return. Sometimes it's the knowledge of knowing that you were doing life's purpose. You know, sometimes we sacrifice ourselves because we feel like it's the call of God. And so we sacrifice. But the truth is that brings us an element of joy because we are doing what we feel like God has called us to do. You know, when I consider myself a reasonably generous person, and when I buy someone a coffee and things like that, I genuinely, in my heart, I am sacrificing. Sometimes it's the only $5 I've got. And I will genuinely sacrifice that just to bless somebody and to give them some sense of joy. But the truth is I'm selfish as much as I'm generous. Because in my generosity, I actually do want a return. When you really get down to it, I want to feel like they feel loved. I want that feeling that it gives me. I want to feel important to God, not necessarily to man, but I want God to know that, God, I understand your generosity and I'm going to work with that. So when you really are honest with yourself and you let your mind wander, I can't come up with one thing on planet Earth that humanity does out of themselves that doesn't have a response attached to it on some level or another. I was even reading one scholar and he was talking about how generous people that literally give their lives to a cause, how, you know, you might give your life to see children healed, for instance, right? And you pour out your life, you medically help them, you financially help them, and you literally just pour out your whole life to them. But then they grow up and just don't recognize you, don't care that you've did all that. And you might do this with child, even spend your whole lifetime. That's massive sacrifice. But the truth is if none of them responds with care or thankfulness or anything like that, our love, even if it takes a lifetime, begins to wane. It begins to just be like, you know what, you know, they don't seem to appreciate, but I love them and I'm just doing it out of my heart. And these thoughts start coming to mind. So that might help you understand how love at one level or another wants a response. But the agape love of Christ, the agape love of God, is a love that truly is 100% unconditional. Did you know that you could become a Satan worshiper, live in sin, completely denounce Christ, and not acknowledge God as the Lord of your life at all, and his love for you will still not change, not one little bit. His love, when we say unconditional love, this is a whole new level of unconditional. This is a love that we actually don't really understand. It's a love of God that says he will accept you completely the way you are. All the problems, all the sin, all the past, all the hurt, all the addictions, everything you hold on to, the grudges you hold, whatever it is, God will accept you completely as you are. But his unconditional love is so great that he will not leave you the same. He will take you on a journey for you to become the best you, the you that he designed and foreknew for your life. And God is patient, he's kind, and he's willing to walk that journey with every one of us. Isn't that good news? That blows my mind, to be honest. And so this is what love is, you know. And so if you're a Christian in this place and you have received this love, which we did when we accepted Jesus into our heart, we received a love that would be with us. If you've done that, we are called now as Christians to pour out this love, not to store this love. That's how we are witnesses of Christ. That's how the gospel truly gets out. See, the gospel isn't so much about the words. It's about the spirit that's on the words. It's about the spirit that's inside of us. And when we live a life of agape love, people see Christ in our lives and that draws them to Jesus Christ themselves. So that's the power of our lives. That's the power of the way we live, the way we talk, the way we think, conduct ourselves. It's absolutely powerful. So we are called to pour and not store. Pour and not store. Now, to better understand this, we have to understand this scripture that we use today, today's scripture, and a word called kenosis. Can you help me out with a bit of Dora Explorer? Can you say kenosis? Can you say pleroma? Can you say perichoresis? So they're Greek words, and we're going to look at these three Greek words right now that's going to help us understand agape love and today's scripture in its context. So we're just going to look at, if you can put up on the screens, Philippians 2, 5 to 7. This is what it says. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now listen to this. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Now, kenosis, the word kenosis actually means to empty out, the same as agape. So the Greek word kenosis means to empty. And now if we use this, I've pulled this scripture apart for you. I'm going to show you something. The same scripture renders as this. Verse 5, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself empty, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He emptied himself empty. He made himself of no reputation. That's what that is. He emptied himself empty. So why don't we have a look at kenosis in the Godhead, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to go a little bit deep. Is this okay to just go a little bit deeper today? So I don't know, I heard once that there's no meat in church messages these days, so I'm out to prove that wrong. What we're going to do is we're going to go a bit deep in theology, and then we're just going to come up for a breath of air, and we're going to look at this and how it applies into our world. Now, in Scripture, John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you jump over to verse 14, and it said that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So the Word became Jesus Christ on planet Earth and dwelt amongst us. So when we look at the Godhead, we have the Father, the Word, the Word and the Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So this is before Jesus came, okay? Now, see if I can fit this on the board. Kenosis means to empty. The Father in theology, okay, the Father empties into the Spirit. The Spirit empties himself into the Word. The Word empties himself into the Father. Now, this is what they call the divine dance of the Godhead. And this is how we know when we read Scripture that God is a relational God. He's a relational God, because even within the Godhead, we have each component of the Godhead completely emptying themselves out into the other. Now, this is where pleroses come in. Pleroses means to fill. So in the Godhead, when one empties into the other, they are never empty. They are always full at any one time, and this is pleroma. Because as the Father empties into the Spirit, the Word empties into the Father, which is the pleroma process, the filling. Now, to better understand, these three are God. Now, I like to think of this, and I used to teach Work for the Dole when they used to ask me these sort of questions. It's kind of just, you know, how do we understand the Godhead like this? Well, it's quite simple. We are made up the same. So you have your mind. Now, anyone with a mind, you know that that's the boss, right? Your mind is the boss. Really, at the end of the day, it's all in the mind. We have the mind, we have the body, and we have the soul man. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. So God made us the same. The three are God, just like the three are you. Okay, so you can't live without either component in your world. And that's how it is. Now, kenosis, when it comes to humanity, to you and I, there's some really good news coming up here, but I'll get there because I'll get excited about this. when the Word was in heaven and they had their board meeting and talked about creation and you and I and then sin coming into the world and then how do we redeem people, blah, blah, blah. The Word said that I want to be part of this. I will go down and be redemption. So God decides to kenosis, to empty himself in the form of Jesus. The scripture we just read was that Jesus is in the likeness of man. Now, because of pleroma, Jesus is 100% God, but 100% man. And this creates a way for you and I. Because he understands us, he lived our life, he as God came down as man. What's going on? Oh, you can't see. Yep.
There we go. Just bring it over.
Can everyone see all right? Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. No, we'll work with that. So Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. Now, the scripture that we just read, Romans 5:5 says this, okay? The love, agape, love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. And was given. Now, Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again in power and victory. Now, we have the ability as Christians to live in this power, to live in this might, to live in this victory. Because when Jesus went to heaven, what did he do? He said, it's better that I can go so that I can send my spirit, right? So, spirit now gets involved in the process. And he comes down. To me, to you, but because it's me, we got a bit of this going on. And the Holy Spirit comes and he fills our life. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, do we know how we're saved? We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then Jesus went to heaven, sent you and I the Spirit of God through the kenosis process. Now, we have the Spirit of God in us. He lives in us. The Bible says that we are the temple of God. We are filled with the Spirit. And because of our life is in Jesus, our salvation is in Jesus, we have the power by the Holy Spirit in us through Jesus to be part of this kenosis process. And that's the good news right there. We, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, are filled with the Word, with the power, with the authority, with grace, with love, with joy, with patience, with kindness. All these things we have access to. And this is why when we say to live a life as a Christian is a life of authority and power and abundance. So we have to ask ourselves, am I living the life that God has sent his Son and poured himself out into us? Am I living the life worthy of that, of that, which is absolutely empowering and amazing. Now, here's the thing. Even if you're not, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, see, Jesus accepts us the way we are, but he will continually take us on a journey of renewing our mind, of revelation, of understanding, of hopping on our knees and having the Spirit of God and God pouring himself into us as we are on our knees, pouring ourselves into him. And he's pouring into us, empowering us, renewing us, strengthening. Does this excite anyone or am I on my own today? This is amazing news. Now, if you're Greek in this place, sometimes we take it a little bit too far because the Bible tells us that we are like God, but we aren't God. We are like God because God pours himself and his Spirit lives inside of us, but we aren't God because we only have access through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God and we are invited into this divine dance. Now, that other technical word, which I feel like I'm forgetting right now because it's technical, perichoresis, okay? This helps us understand this just a little bit deeper. So you have kenosis, you have pleroma, which is the filling, but you can sum them up with perichoresis. And what that is the intimacy of God. It's intimacy. Now, in the human limitations of our thinking, This is like sexual relationship, okay? But it's pure because it's God, okay? So don't let your minds wander right now. But here's the thing. This agape love of God that is self-sacrificial and empties who God is into us through Jesus Christ, perichoresis, is why one is empty and one is full. It's the whole sum. But we have to understand that this agape love is the utmost of intimacy. It's the utmost of God's pure, firing love and passion for your life. It's the love that we can have as human beings for other humanity, for other people, for the church, and for the Word of God, and just for life in general. This is why we can be so passionate, so on fire for the things of God when we allow the Spirit of God to do a work inside of our lives. That's good news, isn't it? I get pretty excited about this. I have to admit, when I first started looking into this about 5 years ago, just blew my mind. You know, I remember coming home one day and to Mel and she was like, you know, how was your day? And I just said, bub, God just blew my mind. Like, I was actually a bit of a mess for about a week. Just to understand the purity, the intensity, the realness, the power in the love, in the agape love of Jesus for my life. It changed my whole way of thinking about the cross. Changed my whole way of thinking about the resurrection, the life-giving power that He is. He did it for us, and then He's given it. He better that I go so my spirit can come. This is what He was talking about. So much better. You know, can I say this? Just flip a little bit here. I love the miraculous. I love the miraculous. God is a healing God. He's still in the business. I love our body being healed. I love our minds being healed. But the greatest miraculous thing that could possibly ever happen on planet Earth is a heart that gets healed, a heart that turns towards Christ, a heart that turns. Let's never in our lives deem that feeling the presence physically, that seeing a miracle, you know, on the front platform, in the natural eye, let's never see that as the limitations of God. Let's never gauge in our world, in our thinking, in our heart, that God is moving when we see these signs. Because the greatest miracle ever is that God's love, agape love, is inside of us that allows us to be part of this unity with God Himself. The greatest thing ever. Let me tell you this. In the end times, when we're in heaven, and it's all done and dusted, God's not going to be counting the broken arms that got healed. Amen? God's not going to be counting these things or the scars that get healed on it. This is not what God's going to be counting. He's going to be counting souls. He's going to be looking for the hearts of people that got healed. Amen? He's going to be going, that was the evidence of me moving all over the world. Did you know today, while we sit here, literally today, while we sit here, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of Muslims are getting saved in other parts of the world. Did you know that? That happens every single week in our world right now. That's the miracle. Seeking the face of God and not the hand of God. Now, here's the thing. Is His love is so intense. It's so powerful. It's so breaking through and cutting edge, and it's so a two-edged sword. That when God shows up in the hearts of men, miracles happen, healings happen, these things do happen. That's who God is. God is agape love, and that's amazing. Do you agree with me, church? You're loving this? Can we give God a shout of praise in this place? Lift up His name. We worship You, Lord. Come on, church, let's give Him praise. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, You are. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says this. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in the agape love as Christ also has agaped us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. I always mix those two words together. a smell, smelling aroma. I like this because this allows me to breathe out. So we're going to come up for a bit of air right now. Okay, drop the theology, you get in the heart. Therefore, be imitators. Be imitators, key word. This whole divine dancing and our invitation to be part of that does not make us God in any way, shape, or form. We have this and we are part of this through Jesus Christ. Here's the Bible right now telling us to be imitators. There's another little Greek word. It's called agapeo. And it's the verb of agape. Remember I said it's a noun at the beginning? It's who God is. The verb is the doing of. Okay, agapeo. When you study your Bible and you pull the Greek out of the New Testament, you'll find nearly all of the time. Okay, well, it is actually all the time, but we don't see it like that. But anyway, all of the time when we are moving in the agape love, it's actually agapeo is the word. It's the verb. We are to be in the likeness of. To live a life in the likeness of agape love. That's exactly what that just says to us. Now, where we get confused sometimes, for those here that do word studies and look at this stuff, is sometimes the way or the format that a verse or a paragraph is written, because of our English understanding, we almost read it like it's meant to be forwards, but really it's kind of a little bit augmented. You sort of have to read it and take yourself out of the word for a bit, stand back and just look at it and try and get a context of what it's saying. And so sometimes we see that we are meant to be agape love. But the truth is when you pull that apart properly, you'll see in context, we are meant to be living the agape love. So we are still imitators of. Okay, so that just clears a little bit up there. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in the love. Walk in it. As Christ also has loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. So now we are doing this to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If you're a Christian in this place, at some point you gave your heart to God and you were transformed in that moment through the love of God. He's transformed your life. But we are called to be imitators now of that transforming love. We live a life. So how do we do this, okay, is the question. Well, it's through the Spirit. We have the power of agape through the Holy Spirit. Does anyone remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, our prayer, or my prayer is, and I'm sure yours is today as well, our prayer is, Holy Spirit, could you help me live a life of joy? Could you help me live a life of joy? Every time I wake up, I'm a negative processor. So this is me talking right now. I'm a negative processor. So I find the negative so that I can fix. But God, help me live a life that is stood on the blessings, on the joy, on the good things. Help me define my day by the good things of today, not of the negative things in my world right now. Yeah. See, I do not conform to the things of this world. I will not conform to these negative things in my life. I tell my kids every single morning on the way to school, I say, today is an awesome day. We pray, and the prayer that I always pray is about the wonder of the day. It's always about the wonder. It's the big picture. And I always like, God, I just want to thank you. Today is the best day. It's just amazing. God, I'm looking out the window right now, and what you are creating is unbelievable. Thank you so much. Thank you for these trees that give me oxygen. Thank you for the breath. Thank you for my mind and my heart. So God, today as we go to school, we choose to find the good things in people. We make the decision now, Lord God, to find the good things about today, and that's what our focus is going to be, and we're going to bring the fruits of the Spirit to people's worlds wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how we start our day, focused on the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Peace. peace. I tell you what, this is peace is something I understand a bit. Because I've knocked on the door of depression at one point in my life. I understand peace. I understand that depression's a spirit. And the peace of God is beyond understanding. So it's not of ourselves. It's not a peace that you can get from a holiday. Not that holidays seem to work much these days. Your mind can't stop your mind. You need like 2 months off. It's not that sort of peace. Okay, this is a peace beyond understanding. In other words, it's from the Spirit of God. It's fruit of the Spirit. God, today, bring peace. I feel like, but I choose peace. I feel anxious today. I'm on the edge today. I can't even think. I'm trying to run a business and everything's just... But God, I choose right now. Holy Spirit, you live in me. He dwells in us. Amen. Holy Spirit, would you let a fountain of peace rise out of me today? Control my mind and bring calm to the storm. Peace. Long suffering. Should we just skip that one? That's the one we all don't. Long suffering. God, help me be gracious. Help me be gracious. You know, the people that keep saying these things, the bullies at school, or these days it's university, it's work, it's family. You know, God, help me have long suffering because your love is so unconditional, so unreal. I want to example, I want to imitate your love. So bring long suffering into my world, I pray. Gentleness. You know, I find gentleness an interesting one. It's easy to see a person like myself as quite gentle because of my personality. If you're around me, I just sit there, just say what I need to say, and that's kind of it. But gentleness is really, I view gentleness almost like a thing that crafts our world. Gentleness is more about the way you do, the way you say. It's not about saying less. You know, my wife says, you know, about 30, her word count is like off the Richter scale compared to mine, okay? But she's a gentle woman. It's been crafted into her soul. It's been crafted into her mind, into her makeup. Holy Spirit, would you bring gentleness to me? That even when I speak the power of truth into people's lives, they receive it because of the spirit of gentleness that is more concerned about the person than the action. That's more concerned about their soul and their life than what it is about getting the result so that my day feels good. That sort of unconditional love in our world. When we show and allow the agape love that God has filled us with and empowers us to live through the Spirit, it examples the love of God. And it fills other people's lives. That's the power of it. See, the Bible says that the Spirit draws people to the Father. And one day while I was praying, about 4 years ago in this church, I was praying and I just said to God, how does this work? The Spirit draws people to the Father. Does this mean that I've just got no responsibility when it comes to people coming to know you know? And so how does this work? And I just felt like God dropped into my spirit that the Spirit draws people to the Father through my life. Now, He is God. He can't just blanket that and He can do whatever He wants, but He's a relational God. Father to Spirit to Word to Father, He's a relational God. And so God acts and He moves through us and in us. So the Spirit draws people to the Father through our imitation of God's love. Does that make sense? People are drawn to God when you and I allow the Spirit of God, we choose to have the Spirit of God come through and out of our lives. So God is a kenosis God. He's a relational God, Father pouring into Word, into Spirit, into Father, into us, and us into Him. So the agape, unconditional love that is completely given to us, accepting us no matter how we look and no matter what we've done is for us to pour, not to store. To pour, not to store. I find this quite liberating, actually. I quite love it. Can I have the worship team come up and join me? When we accept Jesus into our lives, we then become part of this kenosis process. God filling into us and us giving. Now, with the ability to be the imitators of this agape love because of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can example transformational love. See, our agapeo love is transactional. It's a transactional love. And the difference between the utmost that we can give and what God gives is we are transactional, okay? He's transformational. He actually is the love that changes a person's life. So I just want to speak for a moment to the Christians in the house this morning. My challenge to you, to myself, the question to ask ourselves daily is, will we love those who offend us? It's a big question. Would we forgive those who have wronged us? It's not about them understanding what they've done wrong. It's about our heart of forgiveness so the fruits of the Spirit can flow through our lives. Agape love. Would we forgive those who have wronged us? Bless those who take from us? Would we arrest our tongue and speak gently, encouraging and faith-filled words? Would we arrest our foul language and speak language that would come from the Spirit of God? I'm not talking weird churcho sort of stuff. You know, bless you, brother, sister. But I'm talking language that doesn't lift up a person. Swearing, things like this. You know, here's the thing about swearing. I love the concept about swearing. I've got my own little theology going on about the swearing words, but I'll keep that to myself. It's controversial. But here's the thing about swearing. Doesn't matter what our opinions are. To the world, okay, a person that swears is just like them. It's just the way it is. Okay, the more you live life, the more you realize. The person who chooses wise words, words full of faith, words that are calculated to lift a person up, that's what's unusual, and that's what shows the love of God and draws people to God. Amen? Choose our words. If you're in school, university, I know what it's like. I'm a tradesman. You know, you're around different groups and the language just, you just feel like you just want to sort of give them enough just to feel accepted, but not give them too much so that they feel drawn to you and God still. Can I just say that just being God, just being imitators of the agape love, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. You know, let's do our job and imitate the Spirit and the agape and the kenosis, love and power and intimacy that God gives us. Would we walk away from gossip? Careful people more than what we care for results. Don't just care for people because you want them to care for you. That's how often our relationships are formulated, right? What about just caring for people? Just about caring for that person. Look deeper for the joy in our everyday and not for the hassles of the day. Don't have eyes looking for the hassles. Have eyes looking for the joy. You know, start with creation. I just think a tree is amazing. And would we exercise self-control? Now, this isn't about being perfect. I want us to understand this isn't about perfect Christianity. Okay, this is a daily cry. It's a daily renewing of the mind. It's a daily, God, today, would you just help me a bit more than yesterday? Have fruits. Just work on one fruit. just work on one fruit for now. You know, joy or peace or, you know, just say, God, today, I just really want to focus on this because I want this fruit to be developed in my life so that I can be a good example. You know, maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. And I've said it already, but I just, the agape love of God, the love of God, God's love for you and for me, it's like nothing else. It compels me. His love compels me to return to Him. His love compels me to want to give up things, to want to change my mind and my thoughts. His love compels me to do that. It's nothing that I do. I don't make a decision before I give my heart to God. I'm just going to work on my life a bit. Because when we give our heart to God, His love just overwhelms and compels us to work on our lives. So can I ask you right now, don't worry about the latter. Don't worry about the sorting the life out. Worry about your relationship with who God is. And today you might be here and you're hearing of this love that is just so unconditional. And it's for you, but it was poured out just for you. You might be hearing of this and you want to receive this in your life. In just a moment, I'm going to ask for you just to lift your hand. And I just want to pray with you. That's all I want to do this morning. It's God that saves you, not me. But this love is just so real for you. In church, you might be here and you're just like, you know what? I want these fruits of the Spirit just a bit more in my life. Can I just ask, while every eye is closed in this place, Christian, would you just ask God to open your heart, to give you more revelation and understanding how to live a Spirit-filled life? And while every eye is closed, if you're here and you want to know Jesus, if you want to know this love, if you want to accept the Spirit of God into your life through your giving or emptying of yourself to Jesus, if you want to go on this journey of what we call Christianity, becoming a Christian, but really it's just relationship with God, if you want to go on this journey and allow God to change you, He definitely won't leave you the same. That's the good news, and I know that's also the hard news to hear, because change is difficult, but He will make you the best person that He designed you to be in the first place. If that's you, while every eye is closed, can I ask you just to boldly lift your hand up right now, just all across this place, if you would like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just boldly lift your hand up this morning? Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to look around one more time. If that's you, just want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord God. I see your hand back there, man. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I'm just going to pray, and I just want you to receive this prayer as your prayer right now. Father God, I just want to thank you that you do love me so much. And I want to go on this journey to become the best me. I want to go on this journey of love with you. I give my heart to you right now. I give my life to you. Would you transform me into the person you want me to be? Would you surround me with loving people and your love? Holy Spirit, thank you that you have now come into my life in a whole new way. Help me to understand and to learn what all this is. But my heart is yours, and I call you the God of my life. And I even label myself a Christian right now. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen, amen. Can we put our hands together? Great decision.